Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Planetary Wizard, and it is the 10th day of the Red Serpent Wave Spell, and it is the planetary moon day 4. So it's a planetary day in the planetary moon, exponential, and yeah, enjoy that. Let's talk about the planetary tone in a moment. I'd like to start by talking about the Red Serpent Wave Spell, which is at its highest point of manifestation today, the planetary day, the peak of the wave. So you almost made it. It's just, was quite a shocking little window here, wasn't it? Shocked into survival mode, and the amygdala, or the reptilian part of our brain, the survivalistic part of our brain that pushes us into instinctual reaction, and it's ending. Today, this highest point is also sort of the end of its domain. And then tomorrow will be Blue Spectral Eagle, which is the final portal in our 10-day portal continuum. And when we have the spectral day, we always move into the opposite day of the wave spell. The antipode always surfaces on the spectral day because it's 10 days from the beginning of the wave spell. And the antipode pairing is always 10 away from a tribe. So that's how we get to be 10 fingers and toes away and creating this setup of opposite digits. So the right big toe is red serpent and the left big toe is blue eagle. They're 10 digits away. They're 10 days away as well, 10 tribes away. So in any case, we are always finding on the spectral day that we're being liberated and released and the wave is breaking into this antipode of the wave spell at hand, and the opposite and balancing energy sort of, I think, takes the prevalence of red serpent away. That red serpent, the wave spell, is all about the big 10 days from red magnetic serpent to the highest planetary peak, in this case, white planetary wizard. And then it's still the Red Serpent Wave Spell, and we still have a Red Serpent experience and a story to tell, but the power and the kind of obvious force and focus of Red Serpent is in these first 10 stages. Then it's a wrap-up. It's a dissolving of the wave, loss of the power of Red Serpent, and then the wrap-up resolution day, the crystal day, which will be Yellow Crystal Warrior, and then the day between waves, which is the finalization of Red Serpent, but it's just as much the invocation of the next wave spell, which is White Mirror, just when you thought it couldn't get any hairier. So we'll talk about that too. Red Serpent, the wave spell that is at its highest peak today. Just a reminder of two facets. One I already sort of disclosed, right? It's just like, okay, you're a reptile, you're a snake. Snakes are graceful and elegant and medicinal. They represent Western medicine and are in sort of the totem of Western medicine as two coiled snakes. We know what they're like as animals, but, you know, it's a limitation for the human heart, which beats warm blood, the animal heart, animal kind, mammalian kind, to be reduced to cold blood, as in not warmed blood, room temperature blood, as described by reptiles, by snakes. So it is a time where you can feel kind of heartless, or not warm. I don't feel warm. I feel cold. So that's an adjustment. When we roll into the Red Serpent Wave spell, we kind of lose some of our mammalian glory and sensitivity, and we get reduced. And I really recalled feeling anxiety from day one. And the anxiety for me was like, am I going to get in trouble? Am I going to get hurt? Am I going to get destroyed? You know, all that. That's like a escalation, you know, from the lowest pitch to the highest pitch. Am I going to get destroyed? And noticing immediately in this Red Serpent Wave spell how tense other people were about their own. Like, don't take that from me. That's mine. That's mine. That's mine. I want that. That's part of my survival. I need that. I'm going to have that. If you interfere with me having that, I'm going to be really upset. Just like this escalating anxiety. And then getting acclimated, you know, always in wave spells for me, by day three or four, like, okay, I get it. I surrender. You know, it's not a giant fight after the beginning engulfs me. But there's often this, you know, rocky start to the wave spell. And I certainly felt that in the Red Serpent time. I felt kind of screwed by the Red Serpent experience at the outset. And so it is. I'm the one who holds the microphone and goes on and on about these wave spells that started back with White World Bridger. And just like, okay, hold on. They're tough. They're work. They stretch us thin. They, you know, break us apart and reformulate us differently. So we really are close to the end in terms of the five wave spells that I mark as the demanding part of the Dzogchen, demanding specifically because there's an onslaught one after another, and because they just are all tribes that are not... God, I just use those words comfortable and uncomfortable so much. They're not comfortable for us in our human egoic form. They're all ego breakers. You know, we confront death. Death is, the ego is always trying to avoid death, real death and variations on death. Then we get to Blue Storm and the ego doesn't like tons of chaos. Ego likes to create chaos, but doesn't like chaos bearing down on it from the outside. It likes to be in control. So Blue Storm is much bigger than any human ego, just great force of nature, and you know, can flatten or remind the ego inside of us, like, no, you're not boss of that. And then, oh, well, there's yellow human. There's the mirror for our human ego. And, you know, I got a lot of work done on my house in yellow human. So I have like good feelings and memories about yellow human. But that was all about me harnessing human will. Like, I'm unstoppable. So kind of like the best side of human ego. And it wasn't all easy, but I got acclimated to it. I remember it was not fun. It was a rocky start there too. And then, okay, Red Serpent, we're in that. We're talking about that. Red Serpent just... getting into one of the, you know, the crises of human experience is just when we get too amped on anxiety and survival issues, fear-based human fuel. And Red Serpent is representational of that. You know, it, when we're all freaking out in our human daily life,
It's because we have access to the lower part of our brain that's telling us this is life or death, this is life or death. Whether I, you know, get to my Pilates class on time in this traffic is life or death. I mean, that's a horrible example. I should use something from my own life so I don't sound catty, but just there is a lot more traffic as quarantine lifts, and I am sitting in traffic and I am reminded of how life or death that can feel, you know, dealing with Western civilization. So after Red Serpent, just so you know, the final of these wave spells is White Mirror, and I can't even speak of it. I can't even speak of what it's like in the Red Serpent time to anticipate the White Mirror wave spell, because all of that anxiety of, am I going to make it? Am I going to survive this? Life or death, life or death. It like prognosticates forward into the future of the next wave spell, which is White Mirror, about the human sacrifice ritual. And what I know about White Mirror is that no, I'm not going to be marched to the top of the pyramid and have my heart cut out. But oh, heartbreak is like that, isn't it? And so many things can break your heart in life. Losses, death, separations, loss of innocence with somebody else and alone. I think of my White Mirror wave spell to come, and I'm just like, no, please, no more. No more, please. Please, no more. So we'll have plenty to say about it when it's really here. But I just like laughingly, I don't like it at all actually, but there's this hilarity of thinking about it in the future from the place of fomented fear in Red Serpent. So this was a long tirade slash tangent, but I had 2 points. So that was one. That was point one about the Red Serpent wave spell. All of that. Point two is getting out of an old snakeskin. And I'm going to tell that story. I'm not going to get into detail. I'm fucking angry about something that happened in my Red Serpent wave spell. I just feel like, you know, part of surviving is, it's not all invalid. It's like serpents and reptiles don't just suck. I mean, I find them terrifying, but they don't just suck at all. It's very helpful attitude. It's a helpful stage of evolution. And we need to be cold-hearted, cold-blooded sometimes, and be unfeeling. And we need to survive situations that threaten us, are toxic, make us feel unsafe. And we can certainly do that when we have the Red Serpent fever running through us. We can just be like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That's toxic. I remember on the first day of Red Serpent wave spell, I woke up with a tick, you know, like a tick on me, a tick in me. And I thought, how perfect. Here's like a form of venom, you know, and I'm getting intoxicated by this creature. And, you know, I'm fine on the tick level. But the Red Serpent wave spell showed me, you know, a super toxic invasion in my life, and I had to get medicinal and get rid of that venom out of my bloodstream. And the other metaphor that I always use is that we're sloughing off a snake skin, something that we're outgrowing, and in the Red Serpent portals, as we run through them, we will experience something again that we are getting rid of or we have outgrown, but it's uncomfortable because we have to move through it, and it's constricting, and it's not lithe at all. The skin is crackly and scratchy, and making our way out of it is just like, it's not a sympathetic experience, but we have to do it. And these portals teach us like what is leaving. And generally, you know, it's kind of easy to leave it in concept, but more difficult to physically extricate ourselves. And that's a metaphor too. Like, you can have the idea that you're outgrown your childhood patterns, and then you can hit them really hard, and it's hard to dislodge your feeling state, which is part of your embodiment, and it can be hard to leave situations physically that, you know, rehash those childhood wounds in another way. So to physically extricate yourself from something that feels similar to old original pain, and to calm the emotional synapses that are inflamed when that pain is activated. That's the work. That's been the work of my wave spell. Now, just one last thing about White Planetary Wizard today. I just shout out to John Lennon. He was a portal. This is where you, the listener, if you're an old timer, you're like, this is where she's going to talk about all the Beatles being portals. And if you're newer and you don't know that, then I just tell you that all the Beatles were portals. I think that's why they were the Beatles. They were all portals. I bet you could, if you come through every, in the history of music, like let's just say in the last 100 years, even if we limited that, you could find another band where everyone was portals. You would have to really, really do an exhaustive search with a lot of decoder lookups, which would take a long time. But meanwhile, while one of you has decided to take that on, I can say that I have never found a band that had all portals. I haven't done an exhaustive search, but you know, you have to find one portal person and then you have to find a second. You know, like you can stop when you find out that one person in a band you like isn't a portal, then you know you're done looking. So all the Beatles were portals. They didn't, of course, have any like extensive like extra musicians guesting with them. So they're really the Fab Four, the Core Four. And let's see if I can remember. John Lennon is a White Planetary Wizard, and it's his Mayan birthday today. Paul McCartney is a blue self-existing monkey. And I'm trying to remember, is that true, or is he a blue electric monkey? His blue electric monkey. I'm pretty sure I have that wrong. And so this was maybe a pointless exercise, but I'll keep going. I'm pretty sure that George Harrison was a blue galactic knight, and that Ringo Starr is a yellow cosmic sun. He's a yellow sun. Okay, so anyway, they're all portals, and today is John Lennon's Memorial Day and Mayan birthday. He's a white planetary wizard. That makes sense. That makes sense. So the planetary tone, you can think about John Lennon while I'm mentioning this. Planetary day in a planetary moon. So you'll really get to understand the planetary moon better by the exponential doubling of energy today. Like it could be a teach-in, an entry point into this whole moon to pay attention to what's happening today. Talked last podcast in my usual fashion about how the planetary moment is definitely about manifestation, the highest peak, but it is also the experience of ascent ending, the end of a climbing wave, of a flying object. It's the end of that. It's when gravity says, not any higher. And I just remember when I started following the calendar, being like, planetary days, I feel like someone's sitting on my head. And I would come up with that image too, like when someone kind of pats your head, like, hold on there, not so fast, calm down now, steady there, let's keep it together, that like faux soothing, power soothe. The overpower soothe, that gesture is kind of what it's like on a planetary day. Not so fast there, not so far. You need to come back here. I'm going to keep you steady in here with me. It's like a little bit of an entrapment feeling. A little bit of a loss of exhilaration. A little bit of a loss of freedom. Longing to get out of here. No, we're going to stay here. This is where we are for this whole incarnation here on the planet. However, a planetary day, it's really worth looking at in terms of the highest achievement of, for instance, Red Serpent. This planetary day is the highest achievement of Red Serpent. Everything we need to know, learn, live about Red Serpent, it's at its peak today. This is it. This is your Red Serpent apex. Your Red Serpent surge. If you can't stand Red Serpent, it's almost over. You will celebrate the wave breaking. If you realize that Red Serpent is giving you something that you need right now, that you're acclimated to it, and it's fun to be so close to the earth and slithering across its surface and not in your head as much, and it's fun to survive. It's fun to survive. That's what Red Serpent does. It survives. Gets through tough shit. It's tough. It just survives without as much mental hijinks, complicating thoughts. It just survives. So this is the apex of our survival. You know, I don't know what that word means to you in your life right now. You know, I constantly reference my house project, you know, just surviving that, not thriving. I'm surviving, but surviving becomes an action verb. I'm not dying. I'm not dying here. I'm not destroyed. I'm surviving. Yeah, I mean, you could remember that planetary doesn't mean earthy. It means any of the planets. I don't really know how you can necessarily, like, what would your angle be? And you're like, yeah, Jupiter, Saturn. But planetary just means not aloft, out in space, attached to this, like, physicalized home base that is solid. It's not ether. Ether to me is like the answer, scientific description of heaven, like in the ethers, you know, not on a cloud, not with harps and angels, but just in the ether. So planetary is not there. No, we're here. We're here. It's only the first week of the planetary moon, but this planetary day is, you know, the 10th day of the Red Serpent wave spell. So it's a reminder, if the planetary day is far along in the wave spell, day 10, that we've come quite far in our year to date. And in fact, this is not important to tell you right now, but in a few days, on April 12th of the Gregorian count, we will be back to significant day that started our year, July 26, 2020, and April 12th, 2021 are 260 days apart. So this year that's called Blue Lunar Storm for the first day of the year, July 26th, it'll be Blue Lunar Storm again on April 12th, which is 5 days away, right? It's the blue storm day that's just around the corner here. It's coming right up. So that's a significant deal to get through 260 days of anything is a gestation. And you can reflect back all the way to the beginning of the year, what was happening in late July, or early August, and understand that what you initiated in that time, what came through, is fully formed, you know, ready for independence, to be birthed, the creation that you mastered inside you is coming to light and taking form apart from you. And that the way the year then is coordinated is that it's always in the planetary moon that we come to this 260-day return. It's called the galactic return. We return to the place in the Zolk'in where the year began, always in the planetary moon. And I just think, well, there you go. It takes 260 days to have this ultimate manifestation happen. And then the rest of the year is something else. It's beyond manifestation. We know what it is. It's spectral and crystal and cosmic. Those are the moons to come. But, you know, we have 260 days and then we have another 104, right? 364 days in our year with a day between years. So the extra 104 days that we're about to embark on, April 13th through July 24th, that's something other than manifestation. That's after manifestation. That's beyond manifestation. It's paranormal stuff. It's reverb. It's an echo chamber. It's reflection and meditation on an experience that actively has happened and been achieved. So that's helpful, I think, to recognize that we've come quite far. And the manifestation was a long, slow build since last summer, and that there is an afterbirth, an afterglow that takes a long time every year. You know, every year we build to this peak, and then every year we have a long three-moon afterbirth. And then, believe me, I can remember the last summer when you just, by the end of the year, you just go totally in the groove. It's hard to start again, you know? We have many moons left in this year, but July 26, 2021, we start a new year. We start over in the grind and crunch and, you know, disorientation and revved up magnetic tone of the beginning of the year. It's just right now, planetary after solar, after the solar moon, speed of light, fire for 28 days. I think it's kind of a relief to have things be not on fire, not the language of the sun, but the sun speaking to us now in the language of our planet. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Solar tone, we make the best attempt to communicate to the sun in the language of the sun. Planetary tone, the sun god, the gods, answer us best they can in a language we speak, planetary language. So they're trying to answer what we were trying to ask them. And, you know, it's not a perfect communication. It's not a straightforward one. You know, we have to go in nuances and we have to read the signs that aren't straight verbal because we don't speak the same language, the sun and ourselves, God and ourselves. We're different entities and different echelons. But there's this time of year and the time in every wave spell where we're having this call and response, as I said. And so we've had our time making our wishes known to the sun, and now the sun is answering us, and that's what we're watching for on this planetary day. The doubling of planetary energy could give you some insight, especially since it's a portal day, and John Lennon's Mayan birthday. I mean, clearly he was a portal. So obvious that he was a portal. Yeah. Can't think of anything else to say, but I am glad that I said something, because it's been hard to communicate. We are leaving quarantine in droves. I'm getting vaccinated on this planetary day, and that's great. I have not been first in line, so my time and the opening has arrived, and I am making the adjustments to life returning to normal when my normal looks a lot like quarantine, and my preference is when life looks a lot more like quarantine. And now as we revert and regress back to the old original way, I find myself somewhat anxious, the anxiety that can be associated with this time, and also just a little, you know, I feel outmoded because my mode and comfort zone is once again shifting sands beneath our feet as people climb back into extroversion and spending a lot of time in crowds close to each other. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.